Well, welcome again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you. Thank you for coming and joining with us to study God's Word and to honor our Lord. That's what we are to do, is to honor our Lord and give glory to Him. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes that let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring into judgment everything with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So we are to give our God glory. And why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? All the things that He's done for us and the love that He showed toward us even after our salvation. What the Lord Jesus Christ did alone, the magnificent thing and plan that the Lord put into play and done it entirely to save our rotten hides. And He did. And by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and putting your trust in what Jesus has done on the cross and believing and confessing Him, the Bible says that God promises to give you eternal life, that you have it right at that moment and you have it forever, that He'll never take it back from you. But now, being in God's family, we have responsibility. We are to study to show ourselves approved unto God, and we are to rightly divide the word of truth. And that's what we do in these studies. We honor the Lord, and we rightly divide the word of truth, not wrongly. We rightly divide it. And I tell you what, God's word is something else. If somebody, all this education and stuff like that, and I'm not against education, but I think a man ought to know the scriptures and he ought to know God before he gets into any kind of education. You cannot have a proper education unless you know the Lord. You can know everything. The Bible said, what shall a man give for his soul? If a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul, he's a fool. He's a fool. So some of your brilliant expert, got brains and IQs of 500, all this kind of stuff and all that business, when they die and they go to hell, they're fools. You cannot have any kind of smarts about you unless you start out with the Lord. And that's what we're doing. And we're very thankful that the Lord's had mercy on us and drew us to the Lord Jesus Christ, aren't we? Yes, we are. Today we're going to start another letter in the letter D. Now, I don't know what I said on that last. If you're going through the ABCs of Christian Growth, you know that we've already had two studies in the letter D, and this makes the third one. And remember, I told you or mentioned to you whenever you started this that it was probably going to be possible, and probably is happening today, but that you're going to be going through these studies, and you're going to finish up one, and you're going to hear, like you finish up C, and you're going to hear me say something like, okay, well, we'll get together on this next one, and we'll start the new letter D. All right, well, and then between that time and the time that we come back together, I've developed another study and put another study together in the letter C. So we're going to do that one. You see what I mean? Get it? See? That's just a joke. Anyway, but today we're going to go into the letter D and the third lesson in the letter D. It's D3. The study is lesson 4B. And we're going to study doctrine. Doctrine. Now, this is a very important study in the Word of God. And I'm not going to say that I completely understand it, but I have searched it out in the scriptures, and I have the scriptures that we can talk about and that we can go over and find out what God's Word says about doctrine. Now, I do believe that doctrine is very important. The Lord Jesus Christ says that, and you'll see it as we go into the study. But doctrine is hard to define because it covers a lot of areas in your life. Doctrine is the summation of everything and every reason of why you do and what you believe to be and what you believe not to be. And the reason that you do things and the reason that you live your life the way that you live is because of what you believe to be your doctrine. Now, doctrine can be right and it can be true, and it can be wrong, and it can be false doctrine. Just because somebody says that they have a doctrine does not necessarily mean that it's the right doctrine. So doctrine should line up with the Word of God first. If it doesn't line up with the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine of the Word of God, then it's not true and it's not profitable. And there's a lot of people in the world today that are following doctrine that's not going to profit them. They're going to land right in hell. So doctrine, first of all, needs to be true. And we're going to go into these studies and kind of divide them up and study this doctrine matter, the truth of doctrine, in several different ways. But first thing I think would be a good thing to do would be to define doctrine. What does I just get in the dictionary just to start out, you know, and just find out, just kind of get a fresh start on it to find out just exactly what's been said about doctrine. And I got some definitions, probably about five or six of them, and I want to read them to you. The first thing about doctrine and what it says is a definition is a belief. A belief. A belief or system of beliefs. So you see, doctrine is going to be something that you have in your heart or in your mind that you count as your belief. That's your doctrine. Okay? And that's not all. It's accepted as, it's a belief or system of beliefs that is accepted as authoritative by some group or school or person. It's something that your doctrine is something, is a belief that, and the reason that you believe it is because you're accepting it as your authoritative, the final authority in your life. You could say it like this, a doctrine is what you believe is going to save your neck. Yeah. Because everybody has what they say, their belief system, we believe. Now, atheists, they claim not to believe, but that's a belief in itself. They believe that they don't believe in stuff. It's foolish and stupid, but the Bible says it's, that they're fools. The fool has said in his heart there is no God. So we don't even need to take that in consideration because there is a God and he is real and he has shown everybody that he's real. And anybody on this planet today walking around sucking his air in their lungs would have to agree that somebody that's a lot smarter than man. And I mean, all you got to do is look around at mankind. You got to say, man, there's somebody smarter than this. Oh, my. But a belief system, a belief or system of beliefs accepted as authority, and it's accepted as one's final authority. In other words, when you make a decision, you make decisions upon what you believe, and you believe according to who your final authority is. If your final authority is yourself, when you wind that thing all the way up, the reason you do or say or believe is because you are your final authority and you get to say so. So you see, whatever your doctrine is whoever gets the say so. You believe that. If God is your final authority, then he gets the last say. And he is the final authority, and you believe, or your system of beliefs falls in what he says, your doctrine. You see? Making sense a little bit, isn't it? Everybody has a doctrine, whether they agree with it or not. I mean, there's some of the hippies back in the 60s and 70s that says, well, we're not really here, man. Yeah, well, you got a doctrine, all right. It's up at the psych ward. But anyway, now step out in front of that truck if you don't think you're real. But anyway, a belief or system of beliefs accepted as authority or by some group or school. it usually comes with a suffix, an ism. And we're going to go over some of that, too. There's a lot of isms in the world today. Fundamentalism, all kinds of isms. The suffix is ism, I-S-N. In other words, it used to be is my. That's where it come from. Ism, I-S-M, the suffix came from I-S-M-Y, which is my. All right, you say Platoism. Okay, well, ism means Plato is my. You see, the suffix is ism, derived from. Well, I just got through saying that is me, is my, I S M I. It denotes a state or condition, belief or principle. Now, doctrine also means, that's not all, doctrine also means teaching and instruction. Is codification, a set of rules, principles or laws, especially written ones. How we got God's Word? In written form. Written ones, or beliefs, or a body of teachings or instructions taught, principles or positions as the essence of teachings in a given branch of knowledge or in a belief system. In other words, what you've been taught. What you've been taught and what you believe because you've been taught it. And whatever you have been taught, somebody taught it to you. And somebody taught it to you from a final authority that taught it to them. So you choose, the thing about it is you choose what your doctrine is. You choose, God has given us, you know, even the people that are living in communism and in these countries that, they don't really get a say-so out loud. You can't change a person's heart. A person can still have a doctrine in their heart, whether they can show it or say it out of their mouth or not. Your doctrine is your belief of what is true and what is not true, and the system that you depend on and you depend on to save your neck. Doctrine is a body of teachings of an ideology, most often a religion, or of an ideological or religious leader like Jesus Christ. Organization or a group or even a text. We have both. We have a leader, our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a God, which is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we also have a text, the written word of the living God. We have that. And it is our doctrine. He is our doctrine. You say, well, which one? Him or the Word? Well, Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. You see, before Jesus was born and named Jesus, Jesus is the name of a man. Before Jesus was born and named Jesus, Jesus Christ was the Word of God. Do you get that? That's an interesting study in itself. I love it, don't you? All right, doctrine, let's see here. Another definition, you're probably saying, all right, I understand. No, we're going to go over it. Here we go. All right, the first, another definition of doctrine is, in a general sense, whatever is taught. Hence, a principle or position in any science. Now, we've got to be careful around that science. The Bible's not ashamed of science. The Bible uses the word science. And the Bible is science. There's no science outside of the Word of God. You got all these science books, so-called, like Paul, like the Apostle Paul says, so-called science. Science so-called. You got all these books out there that call themselves science, and they tell you it come from an ape. So you got to watch. You got to watch. All right? Any general sense, whatever is taught, hence a principle or position in any science, whatever is laid down as true. by an instructor or master. Your doctrine. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles or truths taught by Christ Jesus and his apostles. The doctrines of the gospel of grace of God were taught by who? By the Apostle Paul. Okay. All right. For instance, the doctrines of Plato are the principles which he taught. Hence, a doctrine may be true or it may be false. It may be a mere tenet. It got no proof to it. Or opinion. A doctrine can be an opinion. Now, my opinion is, because see, whatever you live by and you stake and put your neck on the block for is your doctrine. It's what you believe. It's what you're going to die by. A lot of people have false doctrines and things that they really don't believe in, but they claim, and when it comes down to it, down to the nitty-gritty of whether they're going to die for it, they'll recant. Your doctrine, the way that you live your life, and the reason behind it, and the authority that gives you the reason for that. We have it all with the Lord Jesus Christ and with our God, the living God of the living Word, that he give us his Word in written form. All right, another definition for doctrine, the act of teaching. And he taught them many things. Here, listen to this. We'll get into the scriptures. Mark chapter 4 and verse 2. The Bible's not ashamed of the word doctrine. It uses the word doctrine many times. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 verse 2, and he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. You see, Jesus had doctrine, and he taught people by parables his doctrine. You see that? The act of teaching. Okay, what else? Well, it's learning. Learning and knowledge is doctrine. Okay, well, Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 9, listen to this. It says, who shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and draw from the breast. It's learning. It's knowledge. It's doctrine. It's to understand. To understand. What else? Well, doctrine is the truths of the gospel in general. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 1, it says, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. It's not all this twisted stuff and things that cause confusion. The Bible commands us, and Titus there tells us to speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, things that you can stand on, things that you can stake your put your neck on the chopping block for, things that you can depend on, your doctrine. What you believe, what you're going to stand for, the reason why you do things, your final authority, your doctrine. And these are scriptures that we're reading, by the way. This is the Word of God. Doctrine. Okay, what else? Well, instruction and confirmation in truths of the Bible, of the gospel, of the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 10, the Bible says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Now, we know that this is the Apostle Paul writing to Brother Timothy, and he says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. So it is possible that your doctrine can be shown by your conversation, your way of living, you see. Your manner of life, he said. He said, you've fully known my doctrine, what I believe, what I stand for, okay? My manner of life, the way I live, my purpose, what my life is devoted to. My faith, who I believe in and why I believe in him. My long suffering, that I suffer for what I believe in. My charity, that I give and I love. My patience. It takes patience to stick by a doctrine. Your doctrine. You see, this matter of doctrine is important because you have to have doctrine. You have to observe doctrine and learn doctrine and have knowledge of doctrine and learn and grow in Christ and grow in the Word of God, and your doctrine develops. And you live by it, and you serve the Lord by it, because He is your final authority, and He gives us our doctrine. That He taught them in many parables, and said unto them in His doctrine. In His doctrine. Okay? All right? And that's not all. That's not all. Let's just get this thing down here. It's starting to make some sense, isn't it? Yeah, doctrine. Now, what is your doctrine? I'm going to ask you that. Let's just pause here. What is your doctrine? Out of all the things that we've discussed so far, what would you say your doctrine is? Okay. All right. You know, your doctrine can be anything. I know there's a faith out there that's got a store that if you break one of your saints that you pray for, if you get a cold, you pray to this God. If you want some money, you pray to this saint. If you want this, you pray. If your big toe hurts, you pray to this one. Now, if you happen to be walking along vacuuming in your house and you knock one of them off the shelf and bust him, you can go down the store and buy another one and put him up there. Their doctrine. You see? Is that yours? Is that yours? All right. The truths of the gospel in general. We read that. Titus chapter 2, verse 1 says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." All right. And finally, instruction and confirmation in the truths of the gospel. We read that where... we didn't. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, talking about the scriptures, and is profitable for several things. And when the Bible talks about things and it lists more than one thing, it usually prioritizes them. In other words, what He wants to get through to you is always the most is always going to be the first thing. It's called the law of first mention. Okay, and now that's sort of the law of first mention. But what we even do that. Whenever we write somebody and we want to tell them four different things, we usually put the most important and the most thing that we want them to understand and to get first in the first place. And then as it digresses, then on down to the most least important thing. But not that any of these are not important, but you understand what I'm saying. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? Because it's profitable. What's it profitable for? And is profitable for doctrine. First and foremost, the Word of God was written for doctrine. To teach you what is right and what is wrong and what is not, and what for you to believe and stake your soul and put your neck on the chopping block for. Is profitable for doctrine. And then what? For reproof. Then what? For correction. Then what? For instruction in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect. So your doctrine has to do with your walk, you see, and your relationship between you and the Lord, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. You see, doctrine. So we're introducing doctrine here now, and I think what we're going to do is just have this introduction. Now, you know, the main purpose of the Bible is to teach truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth about what is true and what is not true. This is the main purpose of the Scriptures, to set itself up as the final authority in all matters of faith and practice, and it defines what a man should believe and shouldn't believe. I mean, are there some things that you could speak up right this very second and say, I do not believe what? There are some things that you do not believe. Well, at the same time, it takes your final authority to give you that. The reason you do not believe in things is because of what your final authority teaches you to be your doctrine and you believe in. All manners of faith and practice, defining what a man should believe and shouldn't believe, what he should say and what he should not say, how he should act and how he should not act. Boy, the world could use some of that in 2022, couldn't they? I think doctrine has failed society, hasn't it? Or society has failed what used to be their doctrine, put it that way. They've pitched the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Word of God out the window and spit on it. What you should say and what you should not say, how you should act and how you should not act, and what is true about life and history and death and judgment and what is not true. Hence, sound doctrine. The Lord's will, given us His Word, is first of all profitable for doctrine. God wants you to know the truth about what is right and what is wrong, what to say, what not to say, how to act, how not to act, what is pleasing in His sight, what is true about life, what is true about history, what is true about death and judgment, and what is not true. Isn't that what we really need as a human being? Right, sitting on this planet out in the middle of space, suspended in space, and nowhere to go? You better have some good sound doctrine. And that's the Lord's desire for us, is to have good sound doctrine. So, what have we come up with? We've come up with doctrine. We've begun our study on doctrine, the lesson D3, lesson 4B. All right? And it has to do with what? It has to do with our belief that we accept as authoritative, our final authority, and what we believe from our final authority. About everything about life, everything about death, everything about questions, and everything about the unknown, and just anything having to do with what you can think about and what your heart thinks about is doctrine. You see? Okay, so we're going to go ahead and stop right there, and we'll make this a short one, okay? And because the reason I say is because we're going to start a category of the prerequisites for one's doctrine. In other words, what's required as a prior condition. You cannot have doctrine without having certain things. You have to have prerequisites for your doctrine. If you're going to call something your doctrine, there has to be some things that are already incorporated into it and already are there. In order for you to be able to truly call it your doctrine, this is what I believe, this is my final authority, and this is what I go by. You have to have some things. Things have to be in order. Some things have to be in order and for that to happen. And we're going to start that on our next recording. Okay? All right. Well, praise the Lord. We got a good start off on this. Only about 30 minutes, but that's okay. You can stand that. Get you another cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're doing there, and have you a wonderful day and think about that, and roll over, throw this thing around in your mind and in your heart, and try to define your doctrine, what you believe, and why you believe it, and who taught it to you. Your final authority. Everybody's got a final authority. Some people might call it themselves. Some people call it Bozo the Clown. Some people call it whatever. But we know who our final authority is, don't we? our Lord and God, and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Word of God. All right, let me give you these scriptures for today. There's only about four or five of them, but you can look them over and see where the Lord has mentions, where the Word of God mentions doctrine, and you can see what it says. Mark chapter 4, verse 2. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 9. Titus chapter 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. 16 and 17. All right. As I said, thank you so much for honoring the Lord. We're brothers and sisters in the Lord. The world can't understand. It's a mystery. The world can't understand it because they're in darkness. They're blinded. And it's our business to care about that and to be a light. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And we want to draw as many to the Lord as we possibly can with our way of life, don't we? Yes, we do. And we're not ashamed of our Lord, and we shouldn't be ashamed. And don't you dare be ashamed of our Lord. He's coming very soon. He's coming. He's coming. The Lord said, you see the signs of the times, and we do. And everybody been talking for hundreds of years about preachers been talking about he's coming, he's coming. And that's the most important thing in the scriptures in the Old Testament and the New Testament. It's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what the Lord mentions more in the scriptures than he does about salvation and baptism and anything else is the second coming. And that's what we're supposed to be thinking about, is waiting for our Lord. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. All right. Well, the prerequisite, if I said that right, prerequisites for one's doctrine, things that are required as prior condition in order for you to declare that your doctrine is, okay? All right. Well, the Lord bless you, and thank you so much, brothers and sisters. We have a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Don't you give up. Don't you dare give up. You keep walking. Don't you quit. Don't you give in to the enemy. You keep on walking. Amen. And I'll talk to you on the next recording. And I look forward to being with you. The Lord bless you. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. Bye-bye.